Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Greasy Pigeon Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Sullivan. With me, as always, right there he is, the beauty of a guy, Kevin Trusser. Kevin, give us a Canadian hello today.
Well, hello there, eh? Don't you know?
Attaboy, attaboy. Kevin, how you been feeling? There's been some illness going around. Everyone's getting sick. The weather's up and down and hot and cold. What's your life been like the last couple of days, bud?
All of those, and then factoring down here in Florida, the pollen season is among us. And for those that have allergies, I feel your pain. I get weekly shots, and even the past couple of weeks, I've been feeling it nonetheless. So, yeah, we're battling through. It's the dog days of February now, man. Yeah, we're in it. When it comes to hockey, this is when the rubber hits the road. We've got a lot going on. Looking forward to it. We'll battle through.
Absolutely, I've discovered local raw honey in my coffee every morning to help offset the pollen. And so far, so good. Knock on wood. Talk to me in a month. But right now, we're doing okay over here. So raw natural honey.
Yep. Local.
Local raw is honey, the key. Correct. Yes. Yeah. Those bees need to eat the same plants that are killing me right now. So
yeah,
all of the above.
Yeah. I need to break down and do that because apparently I keep thinking, I'm sweet enough. I don't need that honey. But yeah, I need, Yeah. Many of those would say, no, I need a lot.
Mrs. Trusser says, have extra honey. Don't you worry. And speaking of the battling and the dog days, we are coming to the close of our, junior seasons across the country. I know we spend a lot of time in the USP talking Elite Premier, but less than 10 games left on a lot of teams. Playoffs around the corner, different structure this year, a lot of stuff going on. And today's show, we're fortunate we get to be joined by two current players in the USPHL. You're going to hear from Johnny Terhoe, who's a USPHL elite forward defenseman Swiss Army knife. I mean, before we hear from him, just get into you played at a high level. What is it like to not know what position you're going to be in sometimes up until game time?
Well, we've touched on it before where, the more marketable you are as a player, you can be plugged and played anywhere. It's a testament to be able to do that as the game and the stakes go up. And the fact that this young man has been continual, he doesn't bat an eye. He's able to go in and say, put me in where you need me, coach, is huge. And he doesn't miss a step. I've known the kid throughout the youth days and, to see him at the junior level and, he's out there killing penalties as a defenseman. He's out there on the power play in front of the net as a forward every now and then. They're not afraid to put him on wing. It's crazy. Would love to see him fire on the pads to get the final every position. But no, it's huge. There's a lot of players that will run from that. And the fact that he embraces it and, is willing to be plugged in when needed, it's huge, huge. So, kudos to the team. If we've said it, if you had a bunch of those guys, it makes it easy, they're plug and play all day long.
Absolutely. And I think, that mentality, though, I think spills into what the Tampa Bay Juniors organization is doing on both the elite and premier side. Both teams are highly successful this year. Both teams are highly ranked. Both teams are near the top or at the top of their division. That lunch pail mentality, we've had Carter on before. We've had other TBJ players on with us. They talk about just doing what needs to get done for the team and doing the right thing. And somehow, and I say that because that's a tough culture to bring to a locker room repeatedly and get everyone's buy-in. And it seems like TBJ is doing it. You have that firsthand experience with kind of that room and what that team looks like, but that mentality is going to take any team. This is specific to TBJ, but any team in the USP or in the NHL or in the USHL or hell, the Ontario Hockey League or whatever, if you've got a room that's all rowing the boat in the same direction, look out.
Yeah, the fact, in business, right? The we versus me, and it's easier said than done. It's tough sometimes, but you have to, specifically in the sports world, right? You're playing for the crest that's on the front, not the name that's on the back type of deal. And the more you can have of those guys and put personal agendas aside and do what's best for the team, that doesn't mean you may like where you're at right now. Work harder, continue to put in the work, and good things will come. And when you have a team that has guys that continually are pushing themselves and are able to be plugged and played when needed, good things are always going to happen. So, except maybe on this podcast as a co-host, Jeff, I'd hate to be plugged out, to speak.
Just keep, you just get the bucket and keep the water from getting too deep in the boat.
And I'll
just keep us rowing. How's that sound? We'll just keep going that way. Just keep the water out. But no, and then our second guest today is a player by the name of Jake Neal, and Jake plays with the Dells Ducks in the USPHL Premier. He was an all-star selection in the Premier All-Star game this what 2 weeks ago, I think, at this point. He's that defenseman, Kev, that is, I don't want to say offensive first because that has negative connotations, that the Erik Karlssons of the world that have put up a lot of points, but they're viewed as not good defensemen. Jake is a knockdown defenseman. Just shuts you down, great gap, great control, keeps you to the outside, keeps it the house clear. But if he's got the puck and teams give him ice, he has got all the speed in the world to go by everybody. He gives a, he's going to give us some good insight into how that all works for him. But I'm curious, again, from your standpoint, coaching and who you were around, and you play with guys like that in the past, and what was it like on a team when your defenseman is, gone, and now you're just part of that rush? Like, what is that like for a player on the ice when you see your D taking that control?
Well, let's believe me, I was not the fleet of foot. So I always welcome those guys that could push the puck up. I had no problems dropping back. I was always, hey, I'd love to be on the ice for a plus. That's what it all counts. Everyone loves points, don't get me wrong, but nothing is better than when you're on the ice when you score a goal and you're part of that 5-man unit or 4-man unit, whatever it is, depending on what the situation. But no, you got to know those players on your team that have those wheels, that are gifted, that have the skill and the compete level that can take that up. And to be able to cover those guys and understand that just says it's heads up hockey. So, those guys, the offensive first minded defenseman that's out there, that's not a bad thing because it's a 5-man unit, and I think any team that understands that is going to go places as well. It goes back to what we were saying about plugging and playing players as forwards or D. I mean, when you're on the ice, yeah, you start at a position, but the quicker the five people that are on the ice can realize that we are five people as a unit, fun things can happen because the puck moves around, you can move around, and typically you can put the other team in a tizzy.
You can, and it also goes to show you the kind of strength and structure your team has, right? In the sense of, we've all both coached at youth levels when your D pinches or your D takes the ice, and you look and there's, four bodies below the dots and one guy at the blue line. You're like, where's my coverage? Then you get to the higher levels, and that happens naturally. You're like, wait, why is Jimmy on the blue line? Oh, okay, because Tommy's, up ice, so they know it so much faster. But you have to trust that your teammates are going to do that, and know if they don't, it's not necessarily your fault, but they're going to tell you, hey, great play, don't do that again, right? Because you're not getting that
Yeah,
coverage.
trust and communication, right? That's it. Heads up hockey. I mean, if you see that three guys are ahead of you and you're a forward, logically you got to think, well, hey, I got to be back just in case. Again, it all depends on what the system is that your coach is telling you to play, but it doesn't change from beer league to pro. I mean, if you see someone like an Erik Karlsson that's going on up and rushing and you're a forward, well, chances are, if you count that there's three guys with Erica already up there, you need to be back, or two guys with Erica. Bottom line is, it's heads up hockey awareness. And I'm sure your son, as a goaltender, likes to have two defensemen back. It doesn't matter if it's a forward back there, but two people back at all times.
Absolutely. And there's a great old radio show from the Boston area that I used to listen to that had a great commandment, they called it. And it was, don't do numbers on live radio. So don't try to do math when you're in the flow of the conversation. It never goes well.
Carry the one.
Exactly. Speaking of math and carrying the one, here's some numbers I can do. And I'm going to take a, we'll take a left turn, Kev, real quick before we get into our guest joins us here in a second. But, the numbers are that your Boston Bruins have the most games played in the Eastern Conference and are on the outside looking in of that black line on the wild card spot to and to they're on the outside looking in to the team in front of them that has played four less games than them.
Yeah, bud. Let's
Yikes. Yikes, buddy.
I'm wearing some paraphernalia right now here, February 6th. When we go live, it could be later, and we could be even deeper because I don't feel confident that we're going to see playoff hockey this year. Could be surprised. Don't get me wrong. We talked a little bit about it before we kicked off, that you've got teams in front that are not used to being in the situation with the Senators and the Red Wings, and obviously the Habs are right around there in the Blue Jackets. So who knows what happens with those teams? But when you see teams like Pittsburgh, Boston, and the Rangers with a seasoned and senior, veteran staff, it's hard to believe that they're on the outside looking in right now. But more importantly, being a Bruin fan with the games in hand, that is a huge, huge, it's black eye right now. We need when you're scoreboard watching in February, and I always bring them up. Love my older brother, but we're not Buffalo. We're not scoreboard watching in November. This is February now here, and it doesn't look good, man.
It
They're
doesn't. And to your point, Kev, the teams that are out right now, the Bruins, the Islanders, the Rangers, the Penguins, the Flyers, on top of a couple others, but those are your Eastern like stalwarts that are on the outside looking in. Kudos to Detroit. They've been trying to rebuild for years. Dylan Larkin's been up there. They're trying to put something together. But they're in the mix. They're 61 points. Wild card one as of today, 1 point behind Ottawa, which again, I don't know if they can sustain. Now, Allmark did just come back. If he picks his game back up, he's worth a couple points. That could turn it in. But Florida's not coming back down. The Maple Leafs are the Maple Leafs. We'll see what happens with them. But not to take the side of your two older or your older and younger brother, Kev, but Trevor's the only one that can dance right now. Calgary is holding wild card two in the West. They're the only team that's in. I mean, he could be hosting the party here by the end of the season if things don't change.
It's that or the old man, right? The Leafs,
Well,
the Leafs are,
but Johnny's going to deal with the Leafs in the playoffs, so I wish out on nobody.
I totally agree with you there. That's 100%. But no, I mean, hey, look at the math. The Sabres have three games in hand. That puts them at what? 55 points, five games behind the Bruins. I mean, and the goal differential. Buffalo's minus 12, Boston's minus 24. So, hey, I've been, spinning some, love slash hate the Sabres way. I'm a Bills fan. If the Sabres catch lightning in a bottle and somehow catch the black and gold, it is what it is. I mean, that's at the Bruin fan. We knew that there was going to be a dip. I didn't think it was going to be this far, but there's still 28 games to play.
Something like that.
29.
I like
So
we just said, I'm not doing math on the show,
yeah,
so something like that.
five game buckets. That's the way I look at it the rest of the year.
Yeah.
If you can go, if you can win most of those five games, you're going to be in good shape. If you can steal some points here or there against guys that you're battling against, great. It's I guess it's a different excitement being a Bruin fan, knowing that typically, we knew that we were going to be playing in April, and just one of those. It wasn't if, it was who. We're looking different now, and we'll see. I think the break that's coming on up hopefully will be a nice level set for the boys. But there's a lot of guys that are playing in that four team tournament that are on the black and yellow that we need them to produce. So, who knows what that does to their season or anyone else's season that has guys that are going to play. So,
Yeah, hopefully they come back with a little pep in their step after playing against the best of the best, as it's being called, the Four Nations Tournament. And hopefully the guys that are getting rest get their rest. I hope it doesn't demoralize Swayman. There's some rosters. Looks like he might be your third goalie the whole tournament. He may be your scratch. Can he mentally use it as a break and be okay with that and get over it? Or, as we've seen over the offseason, he does have that chip on his shoulder. Is he going to take that as a slight and get in his own head and then come back being maybe pissed off? Could be well, could be good. If pissed off goalie, could also be bad if he's in his own head. So a lot of question marks the second half, we'll call it the second half of the season for the Boston Bruins. But conversely, Tampa Bay, four less games played, tied in points, plus 35 goal differential, second best goal differential in the Eastern Conference. Which really puts what Toronto's doing in perspective, because they only have one more game played, but are 6 points ahead. So Toronto is clearly just running away with the division based on the numbers. But if you're a Lightning fan, see you in April and May. We're going to be just fine.
Yeah, I mean, living down here, they started the week outside looking in, and again, that's a veteran team with a veteran goalie in the back end that has proven that he can win it all. So I'm not worried about them at all. Again, comes down to Detroit, Ottawa, Montreal, the Blue Jackets. They're now in, playing in waters that they're not used to playing in this deep, specifically the last couple of years. No disrespect to those clubs, but we'll see what happens because they're young. Ignorance sometimes, ignorant bliss, right? Is what they
That's
say. It's
it,
one of those
yep.
sayings that you just keep playing and you don't know any different, and you're there to beat the world. So I think it's great for the league. Anytime that there's going to be tight playoff scenarios as the regular season goes on is going to be huge. That makes the league that much more marketable, and hopefully more people will want to tune in and watch that as it goes on.
We're in for a treat in the NHL as the season comes to an end and the playoffs get started. And I'll tell you what else we're in for a treat. USPHL will be joined by Johnny Terho from the Tampa Bay Juniors next in the Nest. And hey, everybody, we are joined today with us by a special guest. His name is Jonathan Terho. Johnny, as he's known to his friends, is a 2007 birth year defenseman and forward, depending on what day of the week it is. Played a lot of Florida youth hockey. We've known him for a while. He's now putting the puck in the net for the Tampa Bay Juniors in the USPHL Elite Division down here in the Florida Division. Kevin coached him for a long time. I coached him for a couple of years. His father, Sammy Terho, had been one of the original guests on the show way back when it first started, right around the Stammer trade. Kevin, if you remember that show, he gave us a lot of interesting insight from that period of time. But Johnny, appreciate you taking time out of the schedule. A lot going on with you. We'll get into in a minute, but thanks for joining us in the Nest, man. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely, man. Listen, to kick things off, just kind of wanted to start things out. I want to start in a different way than usual. We talk a lot on this show with junior hockey. A lot of your teammates have been on and former teammates of yours have been on. You play junior hockey, but you also are finishing up a high school career in Florida. And for those that don't know, the Lightning High School Hockey League in the Tampa area, the Panthers run something similar down in the East Coast, have done a good job of expanding high school hockey. It's different. It's not like football or soccer. It's actually not tied to the school, even though there are requirements of where you go to school. Won't get into all that minutia, but they're growing the game and they're giving high school players a place to play. And it's really cool because it puts friends together and pits them against teammates of their travel teams and their junior teams. Buddy, 56 career high school games, 71 career points, hell of a stat line for you. Just give us, what was that experience like playing high school? You had, your first, you jumped from no points to 46 points between year one and year two. What was that like, man, playing high school hockey down here?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a mashup of like just a bunch of different players at different levels, and you get to see, like, coming in as a freshman, seeing what the seniors were like and just how menacing and imposing that was, and then going through the years, it getting a little easier every year. It was really fun to see, and it's definitely a really unique league, for sure. With the just like the. Just as like the mismatch, or like just like the combination of levels in one league. It's a lot of fun.
So Johnny, obviously having the opportunity and being blessed to be able to coach you, and I noticed that you've blossomed even more, specifically over the past couple years, having a natty championship under your belt at the U16 AA level, and then obviously seeing the success that you've had at the high school level. I guess take us on the journey as to how that's been. And you mentioned about coming in as a freshman in the high school league and it being menacing, to where you are today as a senior, and rightfully so, being the captain, assistant captain to coaching these freshmen coming in. What's the journey been like, both through minor hockey travel to high school, and then we can talk junior afterwards?
Yeah, it's been quite a journey, just like coming up through playing for the Junior Lightning, obviously most of my career. It was, a lot of different faces, a lot of different players, but mostly the same core group of guys and coaches. And I think we really had a great group going of guys who came up together. And I think that was really a part of what made us so special, both the coaches and the group of guys we had. And I think that's really what's been huge for me and my journey. And then in high school, it's been, I mean, we just had same thing there. Like, I played with those group of guys since my freshman, sophomore year. And then back when I was a freshman and sophomore, we had Tyler Hoffberg, who was just, he was like just a pure goal scorer. He showed me a lot about just scoring and having that, you know, that confidence. And then there was Nick McCree, who I played with too. He was the same type of player, just very confident, natural goal scorer. And just having players like that around me has been very influential on my journey for sure.
So, Johnny, we always talk on the show, we talk about development, right? We talk about the youth game, and we try to get parents and players to understand you don't always have to be the best 8-year-old. You don't have to be, you know, Wayne Gretzky scoring 200 points and Adam, you know, in the 70s up there in Canada to be a successful player and have a long career in this game. You were one of those players that was not, you know, and this is no offense, right? This is no knock. You were not the top best player on your teams in youth hockey. Your game has come later. And we talk about how hockey is a patient sport. Some kids that blossom early fall off by the time they're 14. Other kids don't blossom until they're in junior, right? That's why you get 5 years to play junior hockey. Some kids don't get commitments till they are 19 and 20 years old. Your game really started to come together on the 14U age group when I was on the bench with you. And then obviously your 16U both years, you know, the year you were with us and the year you won the national title with the Tampa Bay Crunch. Your game came late. Other than, you know, just growing in size, what was it, those players you played with in high school, or were there other things, factors that allowed your game to grow at the later ages for you that's now helping you at the higher levels?
Yeah, you know, you're definitely right. I was never really a top or impressive player, but I think it really came with, I mean, growing was definitely a decent part of it. That was about when I started to grow and get close to the height I'm at now. But it's also been kind of maturing and learning more the value of actually working hard and putting the effort in and just seeing the success that comes with it and thinking the game away from just when you're on the ice. That's huge too. Just it's really, you get what you put in. And then as I've gotten older, I've realized more the value of putting the time in for sure.
Now, Johnny, you were always one that were not afraid to put in the time. You know, definitely not afraid to play whatever position was asked of you. You know, Jeff touched on it a little bit earlier. Defense and forward, you are the true switchblade. You know, you're playing all three forward positions, you're playing defense. I'm waiting to see you strap on the pads and finish it out and have a game, at least maybe a shift in the pipes. But, you know, I guess as a young player, and we've talked about this too, Jeff, I know not to beat the old drum, but like to not be married to a certain position. And, you know, I know your dad was always one that preached, you know, you need to be available where a hole where the hole is going to be, right? And some players will gravitate to that, like yourself. Others will run far away from that. I guess, what has been your mindset? Because it's just fun to be able to see someone that you can be plug and play. And, you know, whether it's power play or penalty kill, end of the game, it's just awesome to see that your comfort level is there at all positions when it comes to D and forward. You know, where does that come from, and where do you like to play the most?
Yeah, I've always just wanted to play, honestly. Just being out there on the ice is what's most important. Where I really am on the ice, what my role is, hasn't really been as important to me. And with that, I still to this day, I don't think I can say I have a favorite position. There's playing defense, you see the ice a lot better. It's a lot easier to make reads and make plays, but you know, there's the excitement that comes with being a forward, trying to score goals and pushing offense. There's just that excitement that you can't really match on defense, but they both definitely have their positives and negatives, and it's never been one better than me to the other. It's just, you know, I just want to play whatever options out there for me.
Give me 17 of him and I'll give you a winning team.
That's it.
Right?
That's
Absolutely.
truth. Truth.
So, speaking of winning teams, you're on a pretty good one this year, Johnny. TBJ Elite is, I mean, every week in the rankings, you guys are one or two, depending on kind of how the weekend went before. Your record, you know, you're still leading the Florida division. You know, playoffs are on their way. You guys are pushing hard as a unit. You are doing great this season alone. You know, 27 games played. You know, 10 points. Again, you've been all over the place. It's interesting. You have more goals than assists this year, And all your other stat lines are the inverse of that. You're scoring goals, but you're also helping set things up, right? So you're putting the puck in the net a little more, you know, this year than normal in the sense of from a percentage standpoint. Is it the comfort with the teammates? Is it the way the team is coached and the structure they provide you? What is it about TBJ that's helping your game succeed so much?
Yeah, well, there's definitely a big transition period. Getting comfortable with the systems of the team, that took me a while. But now that I've become more comfortable with it, I've definitely been able to produce more. And I think the success comes more with just trust. Everyone's getting opportunities, and that's what's allowing me to succeed. Is that everyone gets a chance to play at, well, whatever. You know, we've gotten all got a chance on the penalty kill, chances on the power play, up and down the lineup. So it's allowed us to find our roles and produce the ways we can. And with the goal scoring, I can't really say I know what it is. I've never had a season, I think, where I score more goals and assists. And honestly, this season, I wouldn't say it's more that the goal scoring's been that much better than the assists. I think the assists just aren't going my way. I think it's just, I guess you could call it being unlucky, but.
Blame the scorekeeper.
No, I've been there. You've been robbed a couple times. Been robbed a couple times for sure. So, no, you know, it's again, seeing you grow as a player throughout the youth days and to where you're at today has been extremely fun to watch. You touched on it a little bit. Like, what has been the biggest difference that you feel like the jump from junior to, well, we'll bounce back between going playing junior games and then going and playing high school games. You know, you have different roles within both teams and organizations. What is the biggest difference when, when you separate those two and when you play both those games, sometimes in the same night?
Yeah. Well, I'd say the difference comes from the intensity. There's a gap in intensity between the games, but with that, there comes the rigidity of the systems at the junior level. We have a game plan and we stick to it. But high school's a lot more free flowing, and my role in high school is definitely a lot different. Really just out there trying to get us goals so that we can win the game. But in high school or in we're all trying to, you know, the classic get pucks deep, outwork them, keep them out of our zone. It's a lot more rigid. That would be the difference for sure.
Bill Belichick would love this kid. No, it's definitely different, right? And you see that play out. And I'm curious, you know, you talk a lot about systems and how they're rigid, right? And how you play within the structure the coaches give you. How early do you know if you're going to be forward or defense for the game? Are they still bouncing you around game by game, or are you kind of been on one side more so now than the other? The reason I ask is really about preparation, right? Coming from a goalie parent, I know pregame preparation is more than just tightening your skates and getting on the ice. I know it is for players too. Do you have to change the way you prepare, and do you have to memorize, you know, the two playbooks instead of just the one playbook? Just take me inside your brain as far as how this works with the multiple positions that they put you in.
Yeah, playing offense or defense this season has really come down to like sickness or injuries. Like if we have guys out and we're short on one side or the other, that's probably where I'm gonna end up playing. So I can kind of tell throughout the week of practice. But sometimes, I mean, it comes down to when the lineup gets posted on the wall. So that's when I find out, say that's 2 hours before the game. It doesn't change the warm-up routines and stuff is still the same, but I think mentally it's just more of like trying to remember what my positioning would be on defense versus offense, and you know, keeping that fresh in my mind before the game so I know what I'm doing during the game. I'd say that would be the only major difference. But other than that, the preparation is the same most games.
So to piggyback off of that a little bit, like, are you getting reps on both sides of the ice during the week in practice certain weeks, or are you predominantly forward and then if there's sickness or injury, you know, you're going to take some reps during practice on the back end?
Yeah, it varies week from week to week, but usually if it looks like I'm gonna be playing defense that week, and I'll be taking mostly defense reps during the week. But say like this week, I've been on forward pretty much all week, so I'd assume I'm playing forward this weekend.
Yeah,
2 week gap.
and yeah, exactly. You know, and until the roster gets posted and things change, it's
Yeah.
just, you know, it's just interesting that what that looks like for each player and how each player does things differently. And it makes sense that your routine's a routine. You know, you're putting your pads on the same way, you're tightening your skates the same way, your pregame skates the same. But like you said, knowing who to watch out for, what systems to use, or when to, you know, the pinch versus retreat and gaps, that changes depending on your position. But I feel like once the game starts, you're just playing hockey at that point. You're just doing what's natural for you with that experience you have. So I got to think that honestly, all this conversation goes away once the puck drops and you're out there on your first shift, right?
Yeah, exactly. At that point, it's just all subconscious. Either you've got it down in your head or you don't, because you don't have much time to think. It's either you know what you're going to do or you don't.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Wow. And that's what makes you special, man. I mean, that's what everyone wants on their team, is someone that, you know, can be that switchblade and plug and play, and not only do it, but do it well and at a high level. So, you know, you undersell yourself. I see it. It's a huge, huge upside to not only your game, but the team that you're on. And, you know, it's exciting to watch and see and hear your preparation. It really doesn't change. It's just a matter of mindset. So keep it up, Johnny. I'm proud of you, bud.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, and to kind of go off Kevin's perfect setup, thank you, sir. You know, the season's coming to an end. You know, there's a few weeks left. You know, you got a few weekends of games ahead of you and then playoffs. And we've talked at length about the different playoff setup in the USP this year and how it's all different. And there's a wild card and all this stuff. Take all that away. You guys, in front of you right now is a division title, and it's a berth in the playoffs. And then hopefully it's a deep playoff run. What does Johnny Terhoe think TBJ has to do to be successful the rest of the regular season and into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think we just have to batten down the hatches, you know, make sure we're playing a real tight and making the smart play every time and working hard every game. We can't let off the gas, you know, depending on who we're playing, or maybe say we get a lead. We've always got to make the smart play and just play it safe, you know. Our opportunities will come. We've got a lot of skills, so if we just play the right way, the puck will bounce our way. I'm not worried about that, but it just comes down to playing it the way we have to.
Yeah, I think the beauty of the team that you're on is you've got a lot of experience that have gone to not only, you know, state finals, one state finals, but also gone to the nationals. You've got teammates from last year's national championship team. The fact that you can hang your hat, been there, done that, and won the whole thing. That voice, man, I'm going to tell you, like, don't be afraid to use it. You know, you guys have been there. You've done it. Obviously, I got a front row seat because I get to see you guys play every game. But, you know, my biggest fear is sometimes is the comfort level of the team. It's a good team. But, you know, there's a lot of opportunity there that everyone wants to beat the champ. Everyone wants to knock off the number one. And you know that more than anyone. So, you know, I think what you've said there is wise beyond your years. And hopefully, you know, what, 7 games left in the regular season, and then the real season starts. And everyone starts 0-0 then, and we're excited to see how that goes.
So, Johnny, pull back the curtain real quick, and I know we're getting to the end of the time we have with you, so we'll let you go here in just a second. But I need to ask on your thoughts on your captain this year and what he brings to the table, what he brings to the room, and honestly, what he needs to do better, let's just be honest.
Our captain brings a lot of experience to the table. He's been in this league for a while now, and he knows the ropes, and he brings a nice calming presence to the room. He's just got that confidence and the calm about him, you know, that's relaxing in a time where maybe things are getting intense. But you know, if he's not worried, then I'm not worried.
It's a great captain to have. Kevin, are you familiar with the captain of the TBJ this year?
Yeah, I don't know who that kid is, but you know, the mailman is happy for sure.
No, Carter Trussler, for those that don't remember our show a few weeks back, Kevin's son is the captain of TBJ, and Johnny couldn't have said it better. I've said about Carter for years, Johnny, that he's the most calm under pressure on the ice, behind the net. There could be two guys barreling down on him, and his hands don't get any faster, his feet don't get any faster. He's just head up, moves the puck, and off he goes. Like you said, if he's not worried, I think the ship's going to be just fine.
Right, exactly.
Johnny, you ever see him get pissed off?
I see him get mildly annoyed. I haven't
seen him get past that. Oh, we can gas his run out. Yeah, fantastic.
Oh, that's great. I'm going to ask you another question I meant to show, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You know, Kevin and I were talking before, Four Nations is starting next week. Big tournament, you know, Sweden, Finland, U.S., Canada, as our friends know that listen. Your dad, you know, you have the Swedish lineage.
And Finnish.
I was going to say, if they lose, then all of a sudden he's the most Finnish person that's ever walked on the earth, too. So he's really got, you know, 3 teams in this tournament he can root for. Canada's the only one he really doesn't have ties to, but he'll come up with a reason why he does, I'm sure. But, you know, on paper, Johnny, the European teams don't look as strong as the North American teams. I'm just curious if you've actually put any thought into kind of what you expect from the Four Nations.
Yeah, it's honestly like that with every international tournament. You look at the North American teams, they're always stacked. And then you look at the European teams, they're solid too, but they don't have that level of star power. But I think the difference between the North American and the European teams is the way they view a team. Like if you look at the Finnish team and the Swedish team too, but specifically the Finnish team, the way they play, they're very set on their roles. And there's no, even when they have, say, Barkov, who is undeniably the best player on that team and very skilled, no one has that superstar role on that team. They go deep every year, and it's because they're all just trying to contribute, and there's none of that flashiness, no hero hockey. No one's ego is like bashing against each other. Everyone's just worried about the sake of the team. And I think that's what takes the European teams far. So I'm not really worried about the maybe a skill disparity. I think they'll compete well regardless.
Well, it's the lunch bag or the lunch pail mentality, right? And
Exactly.
if we're talking about the four nations, I mean, I think the goaltending, at least we'll go Finland, Sweden, US, those are the three power wagons when it comes to goaltending. Canada, the
Agreed.
asterisk, I think that's probably the Achilles heel, at least right now. And hey, lightning could be caught in a bottle. Totally agree with you there, Johnny. But it'll be interesting to see how the whole thing shakes out. And obviously I'm Canadian and we'll be going for those guys, but I think there's a big hole in the back end when it comes to that.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
agree. I think Canadian goaltending is the worst, and not to break down the entire Four Nations tournament with Johnny. He's got way better things to do. I think the games are going to be competitive. I think it's going to be way more close than people expect. And to tie it all up, Johnny, you talked about the just go get it done, that lunch pail mentality. That's the mentality you have, right? Forward this day, defense tomorrow, playing over here, playing over there, doing what you need to do. TBJ is set up for a long run because they have players like you, because the team as a whole, and I've watched a lot of their games, they, like you said, you're out there in every situation. He's putting lines out there when they're basically when almost like next man up, right? Yes, there's times that they specialize, but you guys are doing what needs to get done to win the game, and clearly that's working for you. So we wish you nothing but the best of luck as you wrap up the season and head into what is hopefully a deep playoff run, Johnny. So good luck the rest of the way.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for coming on, bud.
Absolutely.
Thanks for
Thank
having me.
you. Thank you for coming on and joining us in the nest. When we come back, we will have a special segment one-on-one with Dells Ducks all-star defenseman Jake Neeling when we return to the nest. We are joined by special guest Dells Ducks defenseman Jake Neeling. Jake is a 2005 birth year defenseman, second year in the USPHL Premium Division, last year with Motor City, this year with the Dells Ducks. Jake is putting together one heck of a season, including a recent all-star appearance for what I believe is the first time. Can't wait to hear all about it. Jake, welcome to the Pigeon's Nest, man, and thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be on.
Absolutely, man. So let's start with the obvious. Three-time player of the week. All-star selection as a defenseman, the only Duck to be selected to the All-Star game, which is pretty surprising considering the seasons Angelo Massaro and
Yes.
Jonathan Yakshoy are having, just to name a few. What was the All-Star experience like for you this past weekend?
I had a great time. I was able to meet some players that I played against previously in the Midwest Division last year, and I talked to some players from the North Division, and we bonded pretty well, and we had a great time. We like the D zone structure when we came to like games and stuff. Like we didn't really have systems down, but we glued together pretty well when it came to like moving the puck and stuff like that. So I had a lot of fun. It was very fun. Great experience.
Awesome. Yeah, it seemed like it. And I was following along. High scoring games as always in the All-Star game. Goalies make the All-Star team,
Of
but
course.
no one cares about the goalies once they're there. Unfortunately, it's
Yes.
usually a forward skills show and a skills competition. But I did see you did log an assist in one of your games. You went 1-1, and they combined the teams. Explain who was on your team, which divisions, or kind of how that went as far as how they set this whole thing up.
So the format was is we played two games. I played the first game. We played the Florida Southeast Division, and my division was the Great Lakes Division, the North Division, and the Midwest Division all together. So we all played together. So it was like teams from like the Squatch, kids from the Squatch, kids from the Toledo Cherokee, Fort Wayne Spacemen, the Crush, the Cougars, who else am I? The Northwest Express, the River Kings, like all very talented players that all came together, and it's a very, 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 very good three divisions in the USPHL.
And it's an amazing experience, considering some of the seasons that other players are having across the league. The all-time points leader in a season from out west, from Seattle, happened to be there in the
Yes.
Pacific Division. The Vernal had a couple representatives on their undefeated season, is still rolling. So, you were there around just the best of the best, being one of the best in the league. I've got to think that that gives you a little bit something extra now that you're back in the Dells, getting ready to kick off the home stretch of the season. You must be feeling real confident to hit the ice this weekend and just basically go straight out for the rest of the way.
Yeah, I was able to find a lot of confidence with like plays that I was making. I was starting to do things that I wouldn't really do in typical games, and sometimes they were working, so maybe I'll have to pull them out this weekend against the Hudson Havoc. So we'll see. Hopefully it'll work.
Absolutely. And all the best there on that, and hopefully that confidence transcends. Let's take a step back for a second. Kind of how did you get here? Where did you play your youth hockey, and what was your youth hockey experience like? Were you always kind of one of the better kids? Were you a late bloomer? Just kind of what did that whole thing look like from wherever you did come from?
So I started out playing hockey in Glenview, in a suburb of Illinois in Chicago, and I started off pretty well before like the hitting. I was playing Central States hockey, which is like the top tier two that you can play for double A in the US, in my opinion. And I did pretty well, and then I started to play we started hitting, and I didn't really grow that much. I was like 5'1" as like a 13-year-old. And I started school early, so my parents had me. I was graduated from 8th grade at 13, and I started my freshman year as a 13-year-old, and I
Oh,
didn't
wow.
turn 13 until November. So I made the jump to go play high school hockey at St. Viator, and that's where I met Angelo Massaro, and I actually did grow up playing with Patrick O'Gara my
Oh,
entire
okay.
life, basically. So he's been really close with me, but that's where I met Angelo. And funny story is our freshman year, I used to play forward, and Angelo was also a forward, but they watched Angelo play a game at defense. The one game they watched him play, he played defense. So they put him on D our freshman year, and like halfway through the year, they come up to me and they're like, "Yeah, so you and Angelo are gonna switch." And I switched to D, and he switched to forward, and it's been history ever since. We've been together. So I've been with that kid for 5 years now. He's my bread and butter.
That's
Always been
awesome.
with that kid.
Good guy to tie your wagon to based on what he can do out there on the ice and how
Yeah.
he is off the ice. So that's great. And it's funny the connections, the hockey world being so big but so small. You would have been a year older than when your other teammate Sully was playing in the NAPHL, showcase series and whatnot. And we played a couple games against St. Viator in Minnesota and up in Detroit.
Oh, okay.
But that would have been an 06, 07 year, so you would have been a year
Yes.
outside of that.
I think you were playing our varsity two team. That was like our first year that they had a U16 team only. So yeah, I think that
Okay.
must have been when it was.
Yep. So it's
That's
just
cool. I
crazy
didn't
to
know
hear the same names and the same schools and the same teams and all these kids, and now you all come
that.
together, at this level. So that's a crazy story. And then I guess from that point forward, so like I said, this is your second year in the USPHL Premier. Looking at your stat line here, you were with Motor City last year on the Premier with their Premier program. Did you make the jump directly from high school to the Prem level? Did you go somewhere else first and then come over? How did you end up in Motor City on their Premier team last year?
So yeah, so Mike Massaro was a year older than me, and he ended up going there. He graduated a year before, and I knew since I was graduating early, I didn't have college eligibility. You have to be 18 in order to play college. So I was like, all right, well, I'm definitely going to take this chance to play juniors. Didn't know where to go, and he ended up convincing Angelo to go, and I was like, oh yeah, might as well. I'm going to head out to Michigan, and I went out there, and I had a great time. It was fun. So,
Well, and you connect with Logan Wilt and Chase Crawshaw, who's now with the
yes.
Dells. And I've heard this from when I talked to JJ earlier in the season. We had him on the show, talked to JJ, and he gave us his two cents, so to speak, on why he followed Logan and Chase to the Dells. I'd be curious to know from your standpoint, what is it about Coach Wilt and Coach Crawshaw that attracts you to following them to the Dells and wanting to play for them this year? After what you've seen last year.
So Wilty obviously was like the assistant coach for our premier team last year because he was the head coach of our elite team. So he was mainly running the D side last year, and he connected with me right away. Like the way that he talks to us, he just knows because he's been through this situation. Like he's played juniors before and he's so young that like he just knows how to talk to you. He knows how to like get his point across in a way. And he's got just such a great knowledge when it comes to coaching. And Chase just, he's one of those guys. He's a great guy. And he knows a lot of people. He's got a lot of connections. And when they talk to me, they have a lot of confidence in me when I over the summer. And they were saying that this year was the year that I had to make my big jump. And so far, I feel like I'm doing that. And they've done a lot and they've pushed me through all this year. So.
So with him having the knowledge and the experience and obviously wanting to, you know, it's Wilty's team, so it's his structure and you know his desire on, you know, the way he wants to play and how have you guys play as a decor. But is he taking input from the decor, from you and Dante and the blue liners
Oh
back
yeah.
there on how you want to play?
Yes, of course. They like I me and Liam McGregor, we just skated with him like right before I left for Boston and he just comes out there with us and he's like, "What do you guys want to work on?" And we tell him what we want to work on. He comes up with drills for us and we go out there, we work on it. He tells us what we're doing wrong and then we try and incorporate it into games and then we go over and talk with him and see if maybe like next time we run, "Hey, we want to run a D to D play now." And then we find a D to D play in practice, and then somehow we incorporate that in the game. So it's he's that type of guy to where he's gonna do what he has to do and be on the same page with us, so
That's, I
that we're
mean, and that
successful on
makes
the
it,
ice.
yeah, and that makes it so helpful when you can, you know your coach trusts in you guys as a whole unit back there, right? Not only you yourself, but you're the six or seven, depending on the roster that day, on what it looks like back there. I know, you know, you're a puck moving defenseman. I mean, you're an offensive defenseman. And a lot of people say that about people that are not good defensively. You're very good defensively, but you have a very strong offensive game. Not afraid to dangle through the neutral zone, you know, dangle into the zone, make push the play and make it happen. Obviously, when it works, the coaches are on your side. When it doesn't work, are they still on your side in the sense of are they still promoting the creativity from the D pair, from you specifically, to just do what you think is the right play and your teammates have your back? Like, what does that kind of conversation look like for a player like you?
Yeah, so last year there was not really a way to where I was able to do that. And this year they're really talking and pushing that like I'm more of like a high risk, high reward player to where I'm going to be going up the ice and I'm gonna be trying to make that high risk of jumping in that play, but there's going to be a high reward off of that. And sometimes that doesn't happen and it's going to go the other way and there's a bad bounce, but they understand that and they're all for it. Like we're trying to create offense through our defense, and so far it has worked this year, and I don't think we have any way of changing that situation up, so.
Yeah, no, and looking at your numbers, you know, your numbers paired out over the last 2 seasons. Last year with the Gamblers, 39 games played, 28 points, 6 goals, 22 apples. This year, you know, up to now, 35 games played. There's still, you know, 7, 8 games left in the season for the Ducks, and I would imagine you're going to suit up for all of them, you know, all things staying the same. 8 goals, 25 apples for 33 points, right? So you're outpacing your point totals across all categories this year over last year with games left in hand. I think that goes to what you were talking about there with high risk, high reward.
Yeah.
But in order to do that on the ice in the flow of the game, you have to have confidence of the other four guys on the ice with you, right? What is it about the Dells Ducks this year that gives you that confidence to go play your game, knowing that they have your back?
So I was going to mention that after that was that I do have the four players around me, obviously, that are going to be taking care of what I mess up on, and they do a very good job of doing that. And the reason why I'm able to do that so well is because they do understand how well, like, what type of game I play. And there's some kids that, like, and I should say everybody, are able to like read a play when I'm jumping in and stay back. And I'm not going to give out our whole forecheck or anything, but it kind of works in a way to where we're able to have that extra D jump into the play and we'll still have a guy back. And it really does help us out a lot with center support. Also below the dots, I do tend to start to carry myself up the ice sometimes when I see the puck going to the winger. I tend to type to take off if I'm on the far side, and if that puck doesn't get out, we always have a guy back for me, and I'm very, very thankful for that, because if that was not the case, then I would feel like I wouldn't be as successful as I was.
Yeah, if you can't trust those around you, you're not going to jump in and take the chance, because you know that if your teammate, if you don't trust your teammates covering you, right, you're not going to leave your spot open, right? It's kind of the hockey 101, but that alludes to hockey IQ a lot. And we just talked about hockey IQ on our previous show in regards to some of the rule changes USA Hockey is making on the youth level with automatic icings and the automatic offsides, and how those are going away now. And we're talking about how we think that's going to breed more hockey IQ, and clearly you have a vision for the game and an understanding of the game. But what I think is interesting is the way you're talking about the structure, the breakouts, the system that's in place in the Wisconsin Dells. You guys have to be a smart hockey team. I mean, it sounds like it's not just flip it to some 80 goal scorer and let him go to work. It's grind it out of the zone, be in the right spot, make it happen. Watching, a lot of your games, some days that shows up better than others. On the days where you're struggling because of the opponents not giving you the time and space, or they're hemming you in, or they're holding you up, how do you then get over that hump, Jake, and get the puck up the ice and generate those scoring opportunities when it's not an easy day on the ice?
So I've had those days a lot, like the Squatch and Northwest, and we still had successful days where that's happened. And those teams are very, very, very heavy forecheck. And what we tend to do is we just start to stretch our wings, and I throw it up in the air, and they catch it, and they do everything for me. So that's what I've had success this year is from my teammates and them finishing. I've had a lot more assists this year due to that, and I'm very, very thankful for them for being able to finish for me.
Yeah, no, it makes all kinds of sense, and I'm not ignoring you. I'm just pulling up the rest of your schedule to talk about the rest of the season. It looks like 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 games remaining in the schedule. 7 at home. Unfortunately, not a lot of weekend tilts this weekend coming up, the 1st of February, 2 at home, and then pretty much you got those weekday experiences, the Wednesday, Thursdays, and Tuesday, Wednesdays, which some people love them. I know from a fan base that is the Dells. You like those weekend games, those Friday and Saturday nights. The barn gets packed. The kids are running around. The beer's flowing. People are having a good time. A little different on a Wednesday and a Thursday, right? But what do you think, is the secret sauce for the Ducks the rest of the way to, I mean, you need as many points as you get. You're in a battle. You're in that 4-5 battle right now. 4 is still on the table. That's a home playoff series. Same matchup, right? Whether you're 4-5 or you flop 4-5, you're playing the same team. But playing the Mullets at home is better than playing on the road. So what did the Ducks need to do the rest of the way, Jake, in your opinion, to have to finish strong and be ready for the postseason?
So we've had conversations in the locker room, and I've brought it up. And so I'm relating back to like the whole St. Vider thing. And some people don't understand because they didn't play high school hockey. But I talked about how, like, because my sophomore year, I came in as a 15-year-old kid, and I had these 18-year-old seniors that were taking me under their wing, and all I wanted to do was play for them. And all I wanted to do was win for them and go as far as I can to keep their season as long as it possibly could, because that was the year, the COVID year. And some of these kids, like, are never going to play hockey again. So I just wanted that. And that's like the message that I kind of said in the locker room was, is that we don't have a lot of games left for these old fours. Like, we got to make this count, and we got to give our 100%, 10% effort. And we got to buy into our systems. Like, again, our coaches are great. They work their butts off. They constant film day in and day out. Like, they're not just doing that for their own health. They're doing that for us. So I feel like that's what we have to do, is just buy into our systems and just be hungry.
Absolutely. No, it's again, keep it simple, right? That's the usually works in most cases, and sounds like it's going to work for this one. When you were talking, though, I couldn't help but think how much of a leader you sound like with your teammates in the locker room, right? And you're not a letterman this year, unless I'm missing something, right? So
I'm away assistant captain this year.
Away. Okay. Well, that makes
I'm the
sense
away
because you
assistant captain.
so you do have that leadership ability. So your voice carries in the room. Obviously, JJ's voice carries very strongly in the room. What is, and then, Jackson Wesley, and I know, like you just said, you're the away assistants. There's going to be others. Do not keep track of all of them, but how do you
There's a
guys
lot of them.
all? Yeah, which is great because honestly, in a
Yeah.
room, in a junior season, you need the
We have
room
a very
to.
young core. We have a very young core this year. So we need a lot of, like, a good amount of leadership. And we have some kids that, like, aren't wearing letters this year that have played big leadership roles. And I feel like that's going to carry on the next year coming in for these, like, younger birth years that are 05s and 06s. They've showed a lot of leadership in the room. And I'm very excited to see how that is for them. So, yeah, that's how.
No. That's perfect. And you need the room to get along and listen to multiple voices and not just have the one guy in the corner that's trying to run the whole thing. So it makes a lot of sense the way it's coming together. One more question I'd like to have, try to have a little fun with some of the guys that come on. And this is hot off the presses. I am aware that there was a team building extravaganza last evening with the Ducks. Did you make
I missed that. I saw some videos though. I did see some videos. It was pretty funny. I heard they had a great time. Jenny and Mandy set up something nice. I heard in Bobbers and they had a great time. So I saw Marcus Lloris was trying to hula hoop. He didn't really have a good time doing that. So he
wasn't I can't imagine too many of the Ducks had a very good time trying to hula hoop last night.
Yeah.
No, good to know. It's just awesome. You know, even though you're coming to the end of the season, you know, months ago, basically, and Mandy, for those that don't know, that's the billet coordinator and team manager and team mom and area mom and parent support leader and everything and anything that they need to do up there. Mandy is somehow involved with. And I know Sean Felzone, the owner of the Ducks we've had on before, would say that he can't do what he does without people like Mandy and Jenny, her friend, and how they put the time and effort in. So it's awesome that they're doing that and having fun with the boys and the team, even with a month ago, where a lot of teams are thinking about next year already, right? And packing it up and worrying about end of the season. But you guys are operating like it's just starting. So I think that's going to bode well for you moving to the end.
Yeah, that is what Wilty did say at the end of practice today. He was like, you got a bunch of people around you that are giving it their all right now. And that doesn't really happen in this league, obviously. Is that, like, for example, for Motor City, as you know, that they don't really get a lot of fans out there. And we're getting this year, it's like 550 fans every night. Like, this is the most people have ever came this year from what I've known. Apparently Wilty was just telling us that, like, we got to give it our all for these people because they're giving it their all for us. So we don't want to be, we have that term saying, don't be that guy, which is like, don't be that, as in like, don't be that one guy that isn't going to give their all and everyone's going to look at, or don't look back and be that guy that didn't give it their all.
Yeah. Don't be the weak link in the chain. Right. So it makes all the sense in the world. Listen, 35 games played, 9 to go, 39 points, 3 points out of that 4th spot, 1 point ahead of the 6th spot. You guys are in a battle the rest of the way. Man, I wish you nothing but the best, and I appreciate you taking time out to come on the podcast and talk to us on the Greasy Pigeon podcast tonight, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. We'll see you at the rink next weekend, Jake, and
Sounds good. Safe travels.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Safe travels to you also.
Thanks, bud. Well, Kev, that was great information, you know, and great insight from Johnny and Jake, you know, around kind of what they've been through this season, you know, what got them to the junior level. You know, they both talked about their youth career, the way they came through the system and got to where they are now, the fights that's in front of them, kind of what they're learning and how it goes. Being someone that played junior, Kev, just kind of tie it all together. You know, two different kids, one from the Midwest up in the Chicago area, you know, full of hockey, one from Florida with a big hockey lineage, you know, from Sweden, you know, playing down here. Jake was a, you know, decent player, as he says, through his youth game up into St. Viator into juniors. And Johnny was more of that late bloomer that, you know, I thought he explained that perfectly. You know, the size and the IQ and the mindset got to him late. You know, it takes all kinds. Do not get discouraged if you're not the top player at 12. It's a long grinding path. It was just interesting, I think, to hear both of their stories and how really similar they are at the end of the day.
Well, I think the takeaway is you got two guys that absolutely love the game, and they thrive being out there when their number's called. You know, it for those that are in the early ages as a parent, you know, you don't put so much pressure on your kid. I know we've talked about this previously, but you know, it's a journey, and those are two kids right there that had a support group that they never had someone break the passion of the game or want them to quit the game. And that's the most important thing is, you know, we're always learning as in life, we're always learning, right? And we're talking about, these are, you know, 16 to 20 year olds that continue to want to play at a high level. You know, they're out there practicing day in and day out. They're being good teammates. They're being good people out there in the community. And, you know, it's just awesome to see. If I think we could all live, you know, through that sort of mantra, the world would be a better place. But, you know, that's the biggest takeaway there is that's two guys that absolutely love the game. And, you know, wish them nothing but the best the rest of the way, specifically this season and moving on in the future.
Well said. I couldn't said any better. And I think we'll leave it there, Kev. I want to one word answer from you before we cut the show. Chiefs, Eagles.
Chiefs. It's Chiefs.
Chiefs. Chiefs. Well,
You know
you heard it here
what?
first, folks. We do
Fun
not
with
take any
those.
responsibility for you losing any bets that you may or may
Yep.
not be placing based on that. I will say, the line I had was 49. I did take the over. I did some
So.
research. I did some research. The Eagles tend to score high in the Super Bowl. The last time they played was a very high scoring affair. I think the total was like 71. So I went with the over.
Over and who do you have?
I don't. You know why I don't? Let me tell you why I don't. Because my mind says the Chiefs are going to win. My heart says I don't want either team to win. So I'm not going to go there
I
and put
look.
any pressure on that side. So I'll just take the points and hopefully both teams have fun.
No, I mean, look, I'm a couple weeks removed from the sour taste in my mouth of the Bills losing, and if I'm gonna lose, I want to lose to the champs. But that Eagles team, man, they are a wagon, and Saquon, I don't care if you don't like him, he put up a special year. He seems to be a great dude. I just hope it's a good game. I would love for it to come down to the final drive or final play, because that keeps everyone invested. Although maybe my sleep would benefit if it's a blowout early and I can shut her down early that night. But yeah, no.
Absolutely. No, we'll have to wait and see what happens. I think real quick, I think if the Eagles defense shows up, they will be problematic for Kansas City, and I think the Eagles know how to score. So that would be the only way the Eagles win is if they, here's a take. Here's a John Madden take. If the Eagles can score more points and stop the Chiefs, they'll win the game. And I think that's
Amazing.
literally what it comes down to. Boom, that's it. With that being said, boom, we're out of here. Kev,
Yeah.
until next time, stay froggy, enjoy your weekend. Cheers, buddy.
Until tomorrow.
Cheers.
Cheers.